The Bible says, the Psalm is David's writing through the inspiration of the Spirit of God, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. We thank you for this time, the reading of thy word. I ask you to meet with us today in a special way. Lord, you know what's in my heart to say and to see happen here in this place. Lord, I believe it's what you have for us. And I pray that you'll help me. I pray that the Spirit of God would give me words and power and boldness. And then, Lord, I pray that you would get our ears ready to hear, get our lives ready to respond to thy word. And we'll thank you for what you do, for it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We think about this, we think about life. Of course, the other night, Brother Sexton preached on what is life, and we asked the question, what's life? It's but a vapor. Appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. When I think about life, I realize that life is a series of beginnings, especially the Christian life. It's not endings, but beginnings, if you will. We've been singing the chorus around here, every day is a new beginning, every day is a new start. Walking with Christ, my Savior, brings hope and strength to my heart. What we need in our lives is a series of new beginnings. Every day is a new beginning. Every day we ought to be doing something that day for the Lord. Yesterday is past. Do you realize you can't go back and do anything about yesterday? There's not one thing that you can do. You cannot relive it. You can rethink it in your mind, but you can't go back and undo anything that was done, or you cannot go back and do something that was left undone. That's what life is. It's a series of new beginnings. We measure our life by years, don't we? We talk about how many years old we are. Brother Mickey, how old are you? 47. Miss Marietta, I can't believe it, but I believe you're 49, right? Is that right? Maybe a little bit more? Almost 77. How come you look younger than Brother Mickey? I don't understand. That's all right. I know I'm starting to look a little bit younger. It's what I was told a couple of weeks ago. But anyway, and I have a witness, don't I? But we talk about life. The Bible teaches us, in Psalm 90, the Lord tells us to number our days. And I think there's some importance to that, because every day is an opportunity to serve God. And when we think about this, and we think about the Scriptures where we are, we see in verse number 23, the Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. These words steps, it means his goings. That's the things that he does with his life. And the Bible goes on and it says, though he shall fall, he shall not utterly be cast down. Think about that. A good man is that man that knows the Lord. A good man is that man that has put his faith in God. A good man is a man that knows that heaven's going to be his home. That's what a good man. He's not good because of who he is. He's good because of who God is in him. And the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And it says, though he shall fall. I want you to know today, just because you're saved does not mean that you're not going to fall at times. But the Bible says, though you might fall, you will not utterly be cast down. Think about that. That's the grace and the mercy of God. That's why we're saved by grace through faith and not by our works, not by the things we do. We're saved by the Lord. He goes on and it says, the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Verse 25, David writes, I have been young and now I'm old, and I love this. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. There's some wonderful things about living for God. When you're doing the right things with your life, the Bible teaches us that God provides all your needs. The Bible teaches us that David says, I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. The Bible goes on and says, he is ever merciful, talking about the Lord and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore, for the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. And listen to this, they are preserved forever. But let's look at the opposite of it. The opposite says, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The Bible goes on and says, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh judgment. And then it says, the law of God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And when you're walking the way God wants you to walk and doing the things that God wants you to do, the Bible teaches us that our steps will not slide. The Bible says we'll be on a firm foundation. The Bible teaches us that, that this Savior that we put our faith in will take care of us. And though we may fall, we will not be cast down. We will not be done away with. Why? Because we're guided by God and by His Word. There's great promises in these verses that we need to pay attention to in our lives and in our steps. I think about, every time I think about the steps, I think about Psalms chapter 1 and verse number 1, where it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Notice there's a regression there. The Bible says, that walketh not, that standeth not, that sitteth not. And I think when we're not walking the right way, then we're gonna get satisfied, and then we're going to end up sitting instead of doing what God wants us to do in our life. The Christian life is a series of beginnings. And we must understand this. We're to not walk in the counsel of ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. No doubt about that. The Bible says, blessed is the man that doesn't do that, that doesn't allow that to happen. So what is it that we're to do? We're to realize that the Christian life is a life of going forward. It's not going backward, it's going forward. It's about going forward for God. It's about doing what God wants us to do with our lives. I think about how we're made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I think about how we're to be standing on the truth of God's Word. I think about how we're to walk in love, and we're to walk as children of the light, and we're to walk circumspectly. And then I think about, wherefore seeing we are also compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So we see that we're seated, we're standing, we're walking, we're running. The Christian life is a life of going forward. The Christian life is a life of doing God's will with their life. There's pictures of progression, the life of a believer. Today I want us to look at some of these very things, these very thoughts, these very steps, basics. These are the basic things. And I'm going to have some help in doing this. So I'm going to ask for some volunteers. All right? And so when I ask for volunteer, you're volunteered. I'll start out with my son. I want him to come and I want him to stand right over here. Would you do that? I'd appreciate it if you would do that. And then I'm going to get Brother Virgil, you come up. You can stand for a little bit, I know. And then Brother Mike, would you come on up? Brother Mike Foles, I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise you that. This isn't going to be anything I'm going to embarrass anyone over. Brother Bob, I see you standing back there, sitting back there. I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise you. Once we get through this, I don't do this. You know what? This isn't the kind of message I preach. Just stand in line, just to give you a little bit of separation there, Joe, and then maybe 2 or 3 feet, you stand there, Brother Virgil, then Brother Mike, this way, come this way. We're going to start right over there. No, Joe, you're there. All right. Now, come here, Brother Virgil, you come right over here and you stand about right here. And then Brother Mike, you stand about right here. All right, and then Brother Bob, you stand about the same way. Let's see, that's 1, 2, 3, 4. And let's see here, I need somebody to get... Brother Truman, can you stand up here for just a few minutes? I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise you that. All right, that's 5. And then I need Brother Dustin. Yeah, you can do this, I know you can. Anybody that's been through what you've been through this week, this would be a piece of cake. Right? Because we're just going to do jumping jacks and some sit-ups and things like that. Brother Mickey, come on up here.
No, we're not.
No, we're not. I promise you. Nothing like that. Tonight, I want us to look at some basics. And I want us to see this. And I want to do this. I want to get this in order. Joe, what you represent is when you're born. All right? So when you're born, I want you to say that you represent being born. Can you say that? Turn around and look at them and say, being born. Being born, not bored, born, all right? Brother Virgil, you're going to represent being born again, all right? Brother Mike, being baptized. All right. And then Brother Bob, you represent church membership. There you go. And then Brother Truman, separated. All right. And then Brother Dustin, soul winning. And then Brother Mickey, serving. That's what we have. The Christian life is a life of new beginnings, and it's going forward. Now, I want you to understand that every one of us that are here have been at this point in our life. How many of y'all have been born? That's good. Anybody here that's not been born? Right? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, you had no choice in this matter, right? You came into the world. And by the way, the Bible teaches us that David said, as a matter of fact, I want you to look with me, if you will, in the Psalms. I want you to see what the Bible says in Psalm 139 and verse number 13. It's a beautiful psalm about life and who you are and what you are. The Bible says, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Verse 13, the middle part. And he says, I will praise thee, verse 14, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. God is always taking care of us because he has a purpose for us. God has a purpose for your life. Now you were born, and I want you to know that every birth is precious to God. Every child is precious to God. Now, here's something I want you to understand. I'm not preaching on this subject this morning, but the murdering of babies is wrong. Amen. Abortion is wrong. Amen. You mark it down. God is the giver and the taker of life. And we need to understand that today. And we live in a society that has taken away the preciousness of being born. And they think that they have the right to take a life when it's not their right to take a life. You say, well, what about, you know, all these situations, these young girls and things like that? Look, you don't kill a baby because somebody made a mistake. It's murder. Being born, right? We understand that. Now, this is where we all have been. But now, what step are, where are you at? Where are you at in your Christian life? You represent what?
Being born again.
Being born again. I want you to look with me at John chapter number 3 and verse number 1. I want you to see what the Bible has to say about being born again. The Lord Jesus is talking to a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a ruler of the Jews, and the Bible teaches us that he came to the Lord Jesus Christ by night. Some people happen to believe that he came to the Lord Jesus Christ because he was afraid of what all the other people would say, all the other religious people, so he came secretly to the Lord by night. I don't know that that's the case. All I know is that the Bible says that he came to the Lord Jesus by night. And the Bible teaches us in verse number 2, he says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This rabbi, Nicodemus, was coming and he was wanting to talk to the Lord Jesus about all the miracles. And Jesus said, I don't want you to be concerned with me turning the water into wine. I don't want you to be thinking about all these things. I want you to understand the necessity of being born again. You were born into this world, but you must be born again. You must have a relationship with God. And dear friend, I can tell you, you can be stuck at this position and that's just as far as you're going to go. And if all you have is being born, then you're going to have with your life what man can do for you. But if you ever take the next step in your life and you become born again, you can have what God can do for you. Now, man can't do much. Man may be able to give you money, man be able to give you this, but all the money and all the possessions that man can give you will one day be gone. But when you are born again, God gives you eternal life. And dear friends, that's something that'll never be gone. The Bible goes on and says, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and then be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. So that which is born of flesh is flesh. But that which is born of spirit is spirit. Don't be amazed. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must. You hear that word must? Do you realize that if you are not born again, then death is going to be tragic for you? You must be born again. Well, let's go on. The Bible teaches us that that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We don't have a choice in this part, but this represents what?
Being born.
What?
Being born.
Being born, right. So very good. The next step is what?
Being born again.
Being born again. So once you come to that age of accountability, you're responsible for your eternity. Now what is that age? I don't know what the age is. I believe it's different for different people. I believe it's different in different situations. I believe in some of these far countries where people don't have the gospel, that age probably a little bit longer. Then again, they can come to know the Lord as Savior earlier than you and I did, you know? So, we've come to this point. We're now born again. You remember what you represent?
Baptized.
Being baptized. Now, we've taken the step of being born again. And by the way, this is the most important step in your life. Your eternity is dependent upon this step. If you've not had this step, you can't have any of the rest of these. You can't have any more. This is where it ends, right here. You can live to be 100 years old, but if you're not born again, your eternity is going to be away from God in a place called hell. But when you're born again, that's great. But this is where a lot of people stop. This is it.
Well, I'm glad I'm right here.
Amen. I'm glad you're here too. But really, by the end of this, we want you to be down there. No, I'm not going to move you down there, but I'm saying that's what we want. Because this is the first step. But I want you to know, probably 90% of Christians stop right here. Born again. Heaven's going to be my home. Woo! Hallelujah! I'm on my way home. I'll walk through those pearly gates one day. The song says, must I go in empty-handed? And if this is where you stop, I'm glad you're saved, and I'm glad heaven's going to be your home, but the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and God has an order for our life, and this is the first step after being born that we're to take. The next step, if we're going to be in obedience to God, is to be baptized. Now, this is what gets you to heaven. Not this. This is obedience. This is doing what God wants you to do with your life. I want you to look with me in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Acts, Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter number 28, and then we're going to look at the book of Acts. Matthew chapter number 28. I want you to see what the Bible says. In Matthew chapter number 28, verse 19 and 20, the Bible says, go ye therefore, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So here's the great commission that's given to the church. Go ye therefore. So the first thing we're to do is go, right? And teach. That means to give the gospel. And then once they receive that gospel, once they put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're to baptize them. And then we're to train them, to teach them all things. We go from being born to being born again to being baptized. And this is a very important step. Because see, God blesses obedience. And God withholds blessings for disobedience. Now I want you to understand, baptism is to be done, the right mode is immersion. The right authority is the local church. We have to understand that. Baptism is a local church ordinance. You know, people get saved and then they'll just go down the river and somehow baptize them, but it's a local church ordinance. Two things the Lord ordered us to do. Baptism, Lord's Supper. We understand that, and I believe it's in that order. But here's what we need to understand. The Bible says it is our responsibility to teach you about being baptized. And you have to understand that baptism has nothing to do with salvation, but it has everything to do with walking in God's will. Look what the Bible says in Acts chapter number 2, verse number 41. The Bible says, Then they that gladly received His word, those that were saved, they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So they were added unto them. But what did they do? They heard the word and they received it. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And they that heard the word and received it, they were baptized. Isn't that good? See, the Bible always teaches us what we need to know. So, we started out being born. That's where every one of us are. Now, I don't know how many has or has not taken this next step. If you have not, this is the step you need to be taking, and today is the day of salvation. This is the day. The next step is what?
Being born again.
Being born again. All right, now that you've been born again, there's a lot of people, they get saved, and that's where they stop. But there's something very important that follows that. In Acts chapter number 2, these first days of the church, and I know this is transitional and different kinds of things were happening, but the Bible says they that gladly received His word were baptized. And so you represent?
Baptism.
So this is the next step after salvation. Now, the next step is?
Church membership.
Church membership. So why? Because the Bible teaches us the Lord Jesus loved the church and gave Himself for it. I don't care how you study it and how you look at it, that is talking about the local assembly, the local church. When you read the church, when the Lord Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, it was the ecclesia, it was the called out assembly, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now a lot of people, they don't like the idea of having to join a church. Well look, I just like the idea of doing what the Bible says. Now, these are steps. And I believe a lot of people, they get baptized. And here at the church, when you get baptized, we ask you to agree to become a member of the church at that moment. Because there's two things that qualifies you for being a member of East Lyle Avenue Baptist Church. First, you have to give a good profession of faith. In other words, you have to believe what the Bible says about salvation. And number two, you must be baptized. Because you can't be obedient to the Lord if you've not been baptized by the right authority and then with the right mode. The right mode is immersion. It's not sprinkling, it's not pouring, it is immersion. So we understand that. So once you've been baptized, you ought to yoke up with the church. The Bible says that they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them. Who's them? It's that local church in Jerusalem. There were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Over in the book of Acts chapter, I believe it's chapter number 9. I'm going to look and see if I can find this real quick. Acts chapter number 9. The Lord just made me think about this. Oh, if I can find what I'm looking for. We find that Paul goes and he joins himself to another company. And I know that's here. I'm sorry for that. I should have. The Lord just made me think about that. But the Bible teaches us that Paul had a desire to join himself unto them. This is when Saul came to Jerusalem, he has said, there it is. When Paul, in chapter number 9 and verse number 26, when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. The disciples was this first church. Now look, I'm no Bible scholar, but I've studied the Bible for several years now, and I've studied certain things, and I have come to an understanding of certain things. And some people think, well, you know, you don't have a doctorate degree. I don't have a doctorate degree, but I have the Holy Spirit, and I have God's Word, and all it takes is two eyes to read it and a heart to listen to it and a mind to think about it, and I've studied this out. And by the way, I have went to some doctors of theology, and I said, look, tell me what this means, because I don't want to be wrong. And they said, when you join yourself, it means you were willing to unite yourself with a group of people, a called out assembly, which was the local church. I said, that's exactly what I thought. I didn't even need a doctor to tell me that. I found it out. And it says, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. They were all afraid of him. They thought, we don't know if we want Saul to join us or not. Thank God there was a man there that said, he's all right. He's been redeemed. Everything's okay. He's already been saved and he's been baptized. Now he says, I want to join this church. I want to join this assembly. I want to get the work done. You're representing church membership. That's very important. Now, see, I'm convinced of this. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We're born. No choice in that. We're born. We're born again. That's a choice. Baptized. That's a choice. Church membership. That's a choice. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. If this is what the Lord has ordered us to do, if this is the order that God has for our life, don't you think if we want to be what God wants us to be, we ought to follow these steps? It all makes sense. Brother Truman, you remember what you represent?
Separated.
Saved. Baptized. You've joined the church. Now it's time to say, man, I'm ready to take the next step in my Christian life. I want to tell you something. Somebody smoking, drinking, cursing, whatever, they can come in here, they can get saved, we can baptize them, they can become part of the church and be just as much a part of the church as somebody that's been in it for 50 years. Anybody can be a part of the church if they've been saved and willing to be baptized. That's wonderful. But I want to tell you something. That's not where it ends. You ought to have a desire to live for the Lord. Paul said in the book of Romans chapter number 12, turn there with me if you will, Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's a lot of people, as a matter of fact, everybody's been born that's here. Everybody. And there's a lot of people that's been born again. Wonderful. I'm so happy. And then there's a lot of people that says, I follow the Lord in believer's baptism. I mean, I was baptized. When they baptized me in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. I know that I'm on my way to heaven, not because I've been baptized, but because I've been born again. And boy, I'm so happy I follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And I have joined a church. I'm so excited to be a part of this local church. I believe it's God's plan, God's will for my life to be a part of this church. And I believe that that's what the Bible teaches us. But whoa, separated? I'm satisfied being a part of the church and being a member. But to be separated, isn't that tough? Look, all it is, this is what separation is. It's giving yourself to doing God's will for your life. And we understand God doesn't use dirty vessels, right? Won't use a dirty vessel. Let me ask you something. How many of you all would go and get a cup and put water in it and take a drink of that water if you look down and there's all kinds of dirt in the bottom of it? Is there anybody here that would? How many would say, preacher, I would not get a drink out of that cup? How many would say, I would not? But you know what we do with our lives a lot of times? We expect God to go ahead and use us with dirt. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But listen to this. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? So that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. He has a will for your life. And the only way that we can be in God's will and doing God's will and fulfilling God's will for our life is we present our bodies. Does that mean that we're going to be perfect? No. It means we present ourselves, and then when we do get some dirt, God cleans us up. God cleans us up. That's what we need, isn't it? We need God to clean us up. So we need to take that step of separation. Boy, it's so very important that we become separated people. What separation, it's different for some people than others. But biblical separation is this, is that we give ourselves to doing God's will and realize that we'll do whatever we believe God wants us to do to make ourselves available to Him. That's separation. You know, some people have this far-reaching idea of separation. You know, ladies have to wear dresses that go up above their head and have to go down below their feet and all that. That's not separation. That's legalism. That's when you start saying you've got to do that in order to be saved. That's false doctrine. Now look, if God's convicted you and you do need to wear a dress up that high, and by the way, the Bible is clear on modesty. But if God convicts you and you feel like that's what you need to wear, then I say you better do it. Because I'm not your Holy Spirit. God's your Holy Spirit. And we need to realize it. What's the next step?
Soul winning.
See, to be honest, we'll never reach this step until we understand this step. We'll never be the soul winners God wants us to be if we got dirty lives. You want to know why? Because God's not going to use a dirty vessel. We're not going to be perfect. You'll never be perfect as long as you live in this world. But there's going to be a day when we're perfect, and that's when we're with the Lord. But we're not going to be perfect. The Bible says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Here we have separation. This step has to come before soul winning. Has to. Because you can go out and knock on doors and hand out tracts all you want to, but if you're not living for God, then God's not going to use you the way that God wants to use you. Lee Robertson pastored the Highland Park Baptist Church. In that ministry, he is there, I think, 42 years. I think they said 60,000 people come to know the Lord Jesus as Savior over those 42 years. That's what they had on record. Average baptizing 15,000 people a year. 15,000. I guess that's quite a few, isn't it? I believe it's 1,500 a year. I want you to think about this. This is what he said. He said, I doubt that 5% of the members of Highland Park Baptist Church, no more than 5%, have ever won a soul to Christ. Just 5% have been the ones that's got this work done. 5%, think about that. Isn't that amazing? All those people saved, you thought, boy, they must have had a bunch of people out knocking. No, just a few. But just imagine what would have happened if all 15,000 would have been doing the right thing. Imagine. See, it's steps. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But God doesn't force us. God says, here, take this step. And you can say, okay. Or you can say, no. Then this last step is what?
Service.
Serving the Lord with your life. You followed all these steps. You serve the Lord. Y'all go sit down because I know you're getting tired standing. They may have been tired of looking at you. I don't know. Serving the Lord. I'm just about done. Back in Romans chapter number 12, the Bible says in verse number 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And the Bible goes on and says, this is how we serve the Lord with those that are within this group of people, with other believers. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Look, as Christians, we ought to treat others right. But especially those in the family of God. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Contributing instant in prayer, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Given to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. That's hard to do, isn't it? Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. That's how we're to treat. That's how we're to serve the Lord with others in the body of Christ. But what about those that are outside the body of Christ? Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. This is serving the Lord. This is what it takes. It takes a different character to serve the Lord, doesn't it? Take somebody that's not always looking to fight everything and everybody, but it's taking somebody that's looking to pick and choose their fight and fight the right fight, but to love people, even people that may turn their back. By the way, even in their own assemblies, in our own assembly, there may be people that just get under your skin, but the Bible teaches us we're to love them, to care for them. The Bible says we're to, if God's given us the ministry to teaching, that we're to teach well. Of giving, give well. God gives all of us different offices and different places of service, but the most important thing is that you serve the Lord in what He's given you to do. And then there are going to be those on the outside. And here's what the Bible says, and this is a tough thing. The Bible teaches us, recompense no man evil for evil. The Bible says live as much as possible, live peaceably with all men. The Bible says that if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. Heaps coals of fire upon his head. When you're doing what Christ would do, makes a difference. And then it says, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You need to know, first of all, that you've been born again. You need to take the next step of being baptized. You need to take the next step of joining the church, being a part of a local Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Then you need to understand the meaning of separation. Then as you're separated, you'll have a desire to win souls. And as you're winning souls, you're going to see more and more your heart's going to be given to serving the Lord. And then, there's one more step. Oh, I guess I could have kept them up here. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. What's the next step, you think? The next step's heaven. At the end of this life is heaven for those that know the Lord as Savior. When we get to heaven, you know what the Bible teaches us? We'll either get rewards, or the Bible says we'll be saved souls by fire. You know what the Bible's teaching us? That what we do with our life will not determine whether we go to heaven or not. After we've been saved, what we do with our life will determine the rewards we get when we get to heaven. And there's a lot of people going to go to heaven, and this sounds strange, by the skin of our teeth. You're going because the blood of Christ, it's not the skin of your teeth. You understand that? But when you get there, it's all you're going to have is heaven. You say, well, isn't that wonderful? Well, let me ask you something. When you see the thorn-scarred brow of our Savior, and you see the print of the nails in the hands and the feet of our Savior, and you see the eyes of the most wonderful love that you could possibly imagine, and you think about all that He's done for you, and when you see Him, all you're going to think about is, what can I cast at His feet? What can I do? You're going to say, boy, I wish I had my life to live over. I wish I would have done more. I wish I'd have had this crown or that crown. I wish I had something to cast at His feet. But I was just satisfied with knowing that heaven's going to be my home. I can't go back and relive it. And you can't go back and relive a day. But you can make some determinations today to say, I want the steps of my life to be ordered by the Lord. And I'm ready to go forward. I know where I am in this place, and I'm ready to take the next step. And I'm going to ask God to help me. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. There's no one looking around. I want you to be very sensitive to these things. I know this is a different kind of message than what I normally preach. This is what God had today. I was thinking about all